Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. You're listening to Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. As usual, I'll be presenting a selection of hymns, spiritual songs and readings to hopefully encourage you in your faith. The theme this week is Foundation Stones. Let's start with a well-known traditional hymn, which was written by a priest called Samuel John Stone, who wrote it at a time when he was trying to help people understand what the Christian faith was all about. He was also pointing out that the church was founded on the bedrock of Jesus Christ and his teachings, Jesus being the foundation stones without which she could not stand. Our first hymn is The Church's One Foundation. Our Bible reading today from Mark's Gospel also mentions stones which were part of the temple in Jerusalem. We're not talking regulation-sized building bricks here. The stones mentioned by the disciples in this reading were absolutely enormous. Here's the first section of our reading today. Mark 13:1-2. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Jesus made this prophecy just as he was leaving the temple precincts with his disciples, fresh from disputes with the religious leaders. The disciples may well have been simply gazing in awe at their surroundings, but they also may have been trying to distract Jesus from his set-to with the authorities, whose leaders were forever challenging him and testing him. But Jesus' prophecy here was a great shock to those who heard it. You can just imagine the disciples doing a double take here, saying to one another, "What did he just say there? Do we hear him correctly?" They must have been horrified by his words that this temple, which up to that point had taken 46 years to build, would soon be no more, with not one stone left standing on another. This prophecy was actually fulfilled in AD 70, less than 50 years later. Jerusalem fell to Roman armies after a terrifying siege, in which the inhabitants had to resort to cannibalism to survive. The city was taken apart stone by stone, and over 1 million people died, and round about 97,000 inhabitants were marched off as slaves. For those of us listening today whose world has recently come tumbling down around them, let's take comfort from another traditional hymn, which asks God, the Lord of all hopefulness, to be near us throughout the day and grant us peace in times of trouble. Which Herod had built on top of Mount Moriah was one of the wonders of the world then. This site still is, for Jews, Christians and Muslims, a most sacred place, because their ancestor Abraham had built an altar here upon which to sacrifice his son. But God provided a ram for the sacrifice instead. And of course for Jews, it was the site of the first temple built by Solomon. Now we were on holiday in Jerusalem a few years ago, and as we were approaching the city in our coach, the guide began to play a song through his loudspeaker so that when we emerged into the sunlight and looked to our left out of that dark tunnel, this beautiful chorus broke out as we looked on the city of Jerusalem for the first time. It was so exciting. This was the song.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sing, Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gate. The glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose,
was Richard Crooks, one of the finest American tenors, singing The Holy City, all about Jerusalem, as it came to him in a dream. You could hear every word there. The temple that stood in Jerusalem was indeed magnificent, a building still in the making at the time of Jesus, having been begun 20 years before Jesus was born. It could be seen for miles around and from most parts of the city itself. It certainly impressed historians of the time. This is what one, a Jewish historian called Josephus, wrote around the time of Jesus. The temple was covered all over with plates of gold of great weight, and at the first rising of the sun reflected back a very fiery splendour, and made those who forced themselves to look to turn their eyes away, just as they would have done at the sun's own rays. But this temple appeared to strangers, when they were at a distance, like a mountain covered with snow, for as to those parts of it which were not gilt, they were exceeding white. Of its stones, some of them were 45 cubits in length, 5 in height, and 6 in breadth. Let's bear in mind that a cubit is roughly half a meter, then we can imagine the size. But this building with its huge stones seemed more like a fortress, so strong and impregnable, built to last forever, so some thought, but they were wrong. Here's a song which captures for me the whole atmosphere and noise of the city itself. It's about watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. When I listen to it, I'm back there, remembering all the beautiful places we visited. This song tells us of a prophecy by Isaiah in chapter 62, which says that we must watch and be ready, and we must pray for God's kingdom to come. And if you feel like dancing to it, please feel free. was a very warm evening when we first saw what is called the Western Wall, once known as the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. It was part of the retaining wall of Temple Mount upon which the temple stood. It is all that remains of the temple today. I remember it like yesterday. The atmosphere was electric. We entered a large plaza from a dark passageway, and suddenly the place simply burst into colour and noise. It was twilight, and the first thing I noticed above the wall, against the dark blue sky, were birds, swifts, gracefully swooping and diving. People were socialising some distance away from the wall. Some were walking thoughtfully and slowly towards it. Others were prayerfully touching the stones at the wall with bowed heads. Men approached the wall to the left, women to the right. A few of us in our party weren't very sure whether we could go and pray there too, but once we knew we could, we went forward to pray there. When I opened my eyes, I saw above my head, in the cleft of the rock, on a nest, a bird. It looked like a turtle dove, which was all curled up and cosy, just resting there in the niche. It reminded me, all of a sudden, of words by a missionary called Corrie ten Boom, who once said, "Don't wrestle, just nestle." It made for a very special evening. There's no doubt that this very area exudes an unmistakable sense of holiness and calm. And yet it's ironic that such a very fragile peace exists here in this part of the world. When our minds are filled with thoughts of God, we have perfect peace. The song "Thou Dost Keep Him in Perfect Peace" is a lovely hymn based upon a reading from Isaiah 26, verse 3, and it's sung here by the Fisherfolk. Just how secure are the foundation stones that we have built upon as a society today? Possessions? Pleasure? Jobs? Relationship? The list is endless. And some would say that our foundational core belief systems also are disintegrating, which will leave us with no moral compass to guide us in our lives, and that we are already facing the consequences. I have memories of hymns that were sung in my grandparents' days in Methodist chapels about solid rock and shifting sands. It's only now that I'm realising the true significance of those words. What is it that we should put our trust in today? Is anything solid and true and immovable? This next song gives an answer, that our one true solid rock is faith in Jesus Christ, the only certain hope of life in this world and the next. His sacrifice for us on the cross is the one bridge which leads the lost back to God, and by his blood we are washed clean and forgiven, and made fit to enter into God's presence. All else is sinking sand. This hymn is called My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground.
It was later on that same day on the Mount of Olives, opposite the city, that Jesus' disciples questioned his words about the fall of the city. This wasn't surprising, as their own foundations had been shaken by what he had said. Reading on from verse 3 of our reading today, this is what it says. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when these things will happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains." Instead of Jesus answering when the destruction of Jerusalem would take place, he invited his disciples instead to keep an eye out for certain signs. And what begins as a warning about the fall of Jerusalem develops into talk of end times, in terms of unsettling beginnings which will steadily get worse, just like birth pains. As any woman who has ever given birth will know, these contractions come on quite suddenly, not too painful at first, but steadily getting stronger and more painful until birth takes place. According to Jesus, then, this is the very nature of what to expect before he returns one day to earth, and we must be prepared and alert, just like those watchmen in the song we heard before, for no one knows when it will occur. We'll develop this theme further in a few weeks' time at the beginning of Advent. Before we finish, though, let's just imagine that this Western Wall we've been talking about represents God. How close are we to it right now? Are we standing far off, looking on? Are we trying to decide whether to move in closer? Are we there right beside it, waiting and hoping for prayers to be answered? Are we there nestling in its crevices? Or are we swooping and diving like those birds, drawing attention to the wall itself? Thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll tune in next Sunday. Our final hymn is called All My Hope on God is Founded. Bye for now, and I'll speak to you soon.